We read from Joshua chapter 3, and in Joshua chapter 3, he had taken over from Moses at this particular time, and he was the leader of God's people, and he was talking to them. And I want just to remind you of the group of people that he was talking to. It was a group of people that consisted of little bitty babies up to people that, for the most part, were 59 years or older or less. There were only two people that were older than 59 years old. Joshua was one of them, and Caleb was the other. I don't know how old Joshua was. I know Caleb was 85 years old because he tells us when he comes and claims the mountain that Moses had promised to him 40 years before. But you remember 40 years before, God had brought his people up to the edge of the promised land, said, and they had sent spies, 12 spies in to check it out. And the spies came back, Moses was still in charge then, and said, man, the land is good. It's rich. It's just a beautiful place where the milk and honey flows, the grapes of Eshcol grow, and just a wonderful, wonderful place. And it's a place that God has prepared for us. But 10 of the spies said, but... And you always know there's a big problem coming when the people of God say, but there's giants that live there. The cities are walled. There's no way that we can take it. Two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, said, well, if God's on our side and God wants us to have it, it doesn't matter that there's giants. It doesn't matter that there's walls. It doesn't matter that they have mighty armies. If God wants us to have it, we can take it regardless of what the odds are. And by the way, God still works that way today. Doesn't matter if you're outnumbered or outgunned or the enemy has more than you do. As David said to Goliath, you come to me in man's strength. I come to you in the strength of the Lord. And when you go into battle with the strength of the Lord, there's no enemy that can stand against you. Well, the people 40 years ago decided to side with the 10 spies that said, no way we can take it. And God got a little mad with them. And he said, okay, here's what's going to happen. Everybody that's over 20 years old is going to die before you go into the promised land. They had spent 40 days checking out the land, and he said, for every day that you spent in the land of promise, you're going to spend a year wandering in the wilderness. And again, everybody over 20 years old, except for Joshua and Caleb, are going to die in that 40 years. So those 40 years have passed. Joshua is addressing the people that are left. Again, the oldest one besides him and Caleb are 59, maybe close to 60, but not 60 years old yet. Everybody else is spread down to zero. All right? And so there's probably two-thirds of the group, and again, the Bible doesn't say this, I'm just using normal mortality tables as the insurance companies do. Okay? But two-thirds of the group are probably 40 or less. Two-thirds of the group, their whole life, they have spent wandering in the wilderness. Two-thirds of the group have been there every day, and they've seen people die. They've seen their moms and dads die. They've seen their grandparents die. They probably had funerals every day because there were hundreds of thousands of people that died those 40 years in the wilderness. And two-thirds of the people that Joshua was addressing were that group. That group of people that God had led every day. By a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by the day. Two-thirds of those people every day of their life. Actually, I take that back. Every single one of them. Every single one of them that Joshua was talking to that day, for the past 40 years, some of them all their life, some of them two-thirds of their life, 40 out of 60, every day, God had led them, told them when to travel, told them when to camp. When the cloud moved, they moved. When the pillar of fire moved, they moved. Every day, God had fed them manna from heaven 6 days a week. Quail when they wanted meat. Water from wells, yes, but also water in a miraculous way from rocks. And every day God had given them the food and the water that they needed to stay alive. Every day he had made sure that they had something to wear and their clothes didn't wear out. For 40 years. Can you imagine not having to buy any clothes for 40 years? Some of you ladies would be like this, but us men would say, praise the Lord. And for 40 years, the Bible says their shoes didn't wear out. And they sort of grew with their feet. They didn't even have to buy shoes. And for 40 years, God had taken care of his people. 2.5 to 3 million of them, directed them every day, fed them, clothed them, kept and protected them as they wandered in the wilderness. Now, and I say all that for you to get this picture. Here's Joshua. He's standing up before this people, and he says, as we read in verse 5, he says, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Now, just imagine. Here was a group of people that for 40 years were fed every day by God, were led every day by God, were provided for every day by God, were protected every day by God for 40 years. And yet here's Joshua says, hey, tomorrow you're going to see something you ain't never seen before. Tomorrow, you're going to go somewhere that you've never been before. Tomorrow, God's going to do wonders among you. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was standing in that crowd, I think I'd scratch my head and say, Joshua, don't you think it's a wonder that he's fed us every day for 40 years? Don't you think it's a wonder that he's led us every day for 40 years? Don't you think it's a wonder that he's protected us every day for 40 years and given us clothes to wear and shoes to wear and protected us? And Joshua would say, you're right. It has been a wonder that he's done all that. I'm not, and he might say, I'm not discounting any of that, but it's going to get even better. Because tomorrow, he's going to split a river. And we're going to walk across the middle of it on dry ground. We're going to go into a land that flows with milk and honey, a land where the grapes of Eshcol grow. And God's going to drive out a people that are stronger than us, are better trained than us, are better equipped than us, and we're going to take the land. And we're going to live in cities that we didn't build and drink from wells that we didn't dig and eat crops that we didn't plant. And Joshua would say, I know that God has done wonders among us the past 40 years, but he says, I can't wait till tomorrow because it's going to get better. It's going to get better. Now, that shouldn't surprise us because we have a God that does wonders. In the book of Psalms 77, verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, thy way, O Lord, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. It's wonderful to read those kind of stories in the Old Testament. It's wonderful to realize that the Israelites had that kind of God. But I got some good news for you this morning. That God is our God. That God hasn't changed. What he did yesterday, he will do today. And I will echo to you what Joshua said to his people. Tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among you. And I'll say like Joshua, I can't wait till tomorrow to see what God is going to do. But just a minute. Just a minute. Today is yesterday's tomorrow. You ever think about that? Today is yesterday's tomorrow. I wonder what wonder God is going to do today that yesterday somebody looked forward and said, tomorrow God's going to do wonders. I wonder if he will do a wonder today and save somebody. You see, every time somebody gets saved, it's a wonder. It's a wonder when I got saved. It's a wonder when you got saved. That's why the book of Hebrews calls our salvation so great salvation. We had turned against God. We had done something that he said not to do. The Bible says that we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. And I'll remind you, it only takes one sin to make you a sinner. You may be here this morning, you may say, hey, I'm not so bad. I can find people that are a lot worse than I am, and you certainly can. But our standard should not be somebody else that's worse than you are. Our standard is the Son of God. And when God said, had Paul write in the book of Romans, for there is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The glory of God is Jesus Christ. And when we compare ourselves to him, we all come up short. All of our filth, all of our righteousnesses, the Bible says, are as filthy rags. And if we got what we deserved, every single one of us would go to hell. You say, preacher, you shouldn't say that. It's true. If we got every, I know there's some good people in this room, God bless you, but if we got what we deserved, every single one of us would go to hell. But the Bible says when we were sinners, God loved us and sent his son to die in our place. And so he went to the cross. He paid for our sins. And then God gave us enough faith to believe that. And then God sent the Holy Spirit to woo us to the Savior. And God put somebody in your life, a mom or a dad or a grandpa or a grandma, a brother or sister, a Sunday school teacher, a preacher. Somebody told you about Jesus. And you exercised the faith that God put in you. And the Holy Spirit drew you to the Savior. And there was a moment, I hope there was a moment in every person that's here this morning, I hope there was a moment in your life when you said, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve your love. I don't deserve heaven, but I believe that you died for me, and right now I ask you to be my Savior. And if you did that, you got saved, and it was a wonder. It was something great that God did for you. It was something great that God did for me. I didn't deserve it. I say like Paul, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And there was no way, no how, that he should have died for me. But he loved me enough. And it was a wonder that God gave his only begotten son to die in my place. I like that little song that we sing that says, oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in his beauty I see the great king, this shall my song through eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loved me. It was a wonder. And maybe today he'll do that wonder and save somebody. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that wonder can be in your life. He'll save you if you'll ask him. Maybe he'll do a wonder and use somebody today. Did you ever stop and think what a wonder it is that God would use human beings to do his work? I mean, God has all nature. He has the angels. He's omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. In other words, he's all-powerful, all-knowing, and can be everywhere at the same time. By his word, he created the heavens and the earth and everything that's in them. And yet, that God, who has all that power and who has all that might, who by his word could accomplish anything he wants to accomplish, has chosen to use people. It was a wonder that God chose our Sunday school teachers and let them open the Word of God this morning and teach the Word of God. It was a wonder that God let the folks that sang in the choir sing. A wonder that those that played the instruments, that God would choose to use them. A wonder that God would choose to use our ushers. A wonder that God would choose to use any of us to do anything. I always think, man, it's a wonder that God would let me preach. A wonder to take the Word of God, to stand up before people that He loves and expound and preach the Word of God. I feel unworthy every time I do it. He could send an angel, and an angel could preach. But God has given me that it's a wonder. Given me that privilege, given me that opportunity, and it's a wonder. You listen to me. If God asks you to do something, don't hesitate. Don't say no. Don't put it off. It's a wonder that our Creator God would use any of us. It's a wonder that He would let us take the gospel, either in the form of a tract, either in the form of our personal testimony, in some other form, and take it out and share it with other people. I mean, sometimes we think, man, I don't want to do that. I'm too embarrassed to do it. I don't feel like doing it. That's the preacher's job, or that's the deacon's job. Somebody else can do it. You get to represent the King of Kings. You get to represent the Lord of Lords. You get to represent the God in heaven, to take His message of love and share it with somebody that needs it. It's a wonder that He would let us do that. So I maybe today He'll work a wonder and use us in some way. Number three, and I got 4 points in case you're worried. I don't have a bunch of them. I'm halfway done. So we'll be done by 12:30 or 1 o'clock for sure. Amen. Number three, maybe He'll do a wonder today and show us again that He's the great physician. We've had some wonderful news in our church of late. Two of our ladies that have been fighting cancer have gotten reports that basically their cancer is gone. Kim Woodward found out about it a couple weeks ago, and Pam Garcia found out about it this week. And it's funny how the stories are so similar. The technicians or the doctors, you know, call Jeff in, call David and Pam in, and say, "We can't explain it to you. It's not supposed to happen like this. It's just gone. It's just gone." And I like what Jeff said. He said, "You have doctors. I know the great physician. I know the great physician." And so what doctors, and by the way, I believe that God uses doctors, and I believe that God uses the medical knowledge that He's given us. I believe He uses operations, and I believe He uses all those things. But there are some things that happen in our lives that we as man haven't figured out yet. We don't know how to fix it yet. A lot of things God has given us the knowledge, and we know how to fix it. We can fix it. But there's still some things that go on in the realm of being a human that we don't know how to fix. And we don't know how to fix, we as Christians do the only thing that we know to do. We go to prayer. And we ask God to do the things that we cannot do. And we ask God to work in miraculous ways in people's lives that have cancer, have MS, have all sorts of other things, again, that we just don't know how to fix. And God works. He does a wonder. He does a wonder. And he makes the cancer go away. And he heals bodies. And the doctors have to say, it wasn't us. Because we don't know how to do it. And our folks say, well, we know who did it. We know who did it. It was God that did it. And maybe today, God will work another wonder. Because there's still people that have cancer. There's still people that have MS. There's still people that have other things that we don't know how to fix. And we hold them up in prayer. And we ask God. And we say, God, you've done it before. We've seen it before. We need you to do it again. Please, oh God, do it again. And maybe he'll work a wonder today and show us again that he's the great physician. And then number four, maybe he'll do a wonder today and direct us. There's people sitting in this room this morning that need to make a decision about something, need to decide on something. Maybe God will do a wonder today and help you make that decision and show you what you need to do, show you how you need to decide. Maybe God will do a wonder today and feed us. Say, oh, preacher, I don't need God to feed me. I got food in the cupboard, and I got food in the refrigerator, and the freezer's full. I'm going to eat good today, and God doesn't have anything to do with it. Who do you think put that food in the cupboard? Who do you think put that food in the refrigerator? Who do you think put that food in the freezer? Every bite you take today comes from an almighty God. If God didn't want you to have it, you wouldn't have it. And you have it today because God wants you to have it. Maybe God will do a wonder today and protect us. We might not even know. Donna was giving us a testimony Wednesday night of how God protected her. She could see it coming. But there's times in our lives where God keeps us out of accidents and keeps us out of danger, and we don't even know that he does it. Maybe he'll do a wonder today and protect us. You see, I would submit to you that he does those things every day. Every day. And maybe that's what Joshua, maybe that's why he said what he did when he said, tomorrow the Lord's going to do wonders among you. Maybe it's because God's people, because they enjoyed his leadership and his provision and his protection for 40 years, every day for 40 years, maybe they began to take it for granted. Maybe, you know, after 20 years or so, it was just expected that when they went out in the morning, the manna would be there. And it was just expected when they needed something to drink that God would either bring them to a well or open up a rock and give them something to drink. Or maybe when they faced an army after they'd fought so many battles, it was just expected, well, God will take care of this. And they began to take the wonders that God did for them every day for granted. Every day God works wonders in our lives because he does direct us and he does feed us and he does protect us and he does take care of us. And I say to the people of God this morning, wake up. Don't take it for granted. All God has to do is remove his hand from us. All God has to do is to quit thinking about us for a minute. And every single one of us would be in trouble. It's only because that he cares for us that we enjoy the blessings that we do. And every day we ought to look to heaven and say, God, thank you for taking care of me today. Thank you for protecting me. Thank you for directing me. Thank you for feeding me, for giving me clothes to wear, a house to live in, and all the other blessings you give me. God, I never want to take it for granted. I never want to forget that they come from you. And maybe he'll do a wonder today and do all those things for us again. Again. Sanctify yourself, Joshua said, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. He hasn't changed. He's still a God, the God that doeth wonders. And again, if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, the greatest thing that God will do for you is to save you. Give you a home in heaven, but it only comes through Jesus Christ. Doesn't come from being good, doesn't come from joining a church, doesn't come from anything that man can do. It comes only from God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And again, if you're here and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you can do it right now. You're a sinner. Penalty for that sin is separation from God, spiritual death. But he loved you and sent Jesus to die for you. And if you'll ask him this morning, he'll save you. And if you've never done that, I beg you to do it. Today's the day of salvation. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you are a God that doeth wonders. And I pray, Father, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that today would be the day that they see their sin, they see the penalty for that sin, and they see a need for Jesus. And I pray today would be the day that they ask Jesus to save them. Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. Most of us here today are Christians. We've been saved. We know we're going to heaven. But Father, I pray you'd help us realize that what a wonder it was when you saved us. What a wonder it is that you use us. What a wonder it is every time you intervene in the affairs of mankind and do something that we can't do, but only you can do. And what a wonder it is that you care for us every day. Help us to never take it for granted. Help us to always be thankful and to praise you. Father, I ask you to bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.